300 sensors, over a million data points per second. How does F1 update their fans with every stat in real time? AWS is how. From fastest laps to strategy calls, AWS puts fans in the pit. It's not just racing, it's data-driven innovation at 200 miles per hour. AWS is how leading businesses power next-level innovation.
Hey everyone, it's Dan Bova here at Entrepreneur, where I'm a writer and editor, and thank you for joining us for another snack-size edition of our show, How Success Happens. So usually every week I'm digging into the archives of somebody super cool from the past that we've talked to, but today I am not digging into the past, I'm digging into the future. If that's a thing. I had a brand new, fresh conversation with comedian Kevin Bridges, which I thought he was so cool, and he's got something that's happening right now, so I wanted to get this out as soon as possible. So Kevin, if you are not familiar, and I'm going to be honest, I wasn't super familiar with him before we spoke either. He is a comedian from the UK who has been doing gangbusters over there for years. He sells out concerts. He's toured everywhere in the world except North America. And now he's in North America. So that's why I caught up with him on a call to learn about his career and this new show that he's putting on. Now, if you are a listener of this show, you may detect that I'm a little bit of a comedy nerd. I like a good chuckle. What am I going to say? And I am always so curious to talk to comedians because, as I've said before, and I'm going to say it again because it is a brilliant observation on my part, but comedians, they are the essence of entrepreneurialism. They themselves are the product, and they put themselves out there night after night to an audience and hope that people like it. There's a lot of risk-taking. Sometimes those risks pay off. Sometimes they don't. It is a nerve-wracking endeavor, which I only assume because I'm not a comedian, as you may tell from some of the jokes I tell on this show. But anyway, I caught up with Kevin on a quick call while he was making his way through America. I believe he was in Boston at the time. He had a show that night and was recovering from a little bit of a hangover from the night before. So to kick things off, I just asked him, hey, introduce yourselves to Americans who aren't that familiar with you. And also, how'd you get into this whole comedy biz to begin with?
So my name is Kevin Bridges. We should start at that. It'd be a good entry point in it. I started stand-up when I had just turned 17. So I dropped out of high school, to use an Americanism. Dropped out of high school, and I don't know where my life was headed. And then I just thought the only thing I've ever been told I was quite good at was making people laugh. So I thought, why not try and turn that into something constructive? And I signed myself up to do an open mic comedy night. Done 5 minutes. My dad drove me up to the show because the venue had said because I was under 18, I had to be accompanied by a parent or guardian. So taking your dad's slightly cooler than taking your mum. So I had to come clean. And I said, listen, Dad, I'm going to try stand-up. And I think he was kind of like, you've just been asked to leave school. What's going on here? How many curveballs are we going to take from this kid? But he did then say, right, let's go, man. I'll take you up. He drove me up and it went well, like really well. I know most comedians' origin stories, the first few shows, the early shows are tough, but I had the total opposite. So the first gig went good. And I think if it never went good, I don't think I would ever have returned because I experienced the first... Gig one, two, and three went well, and then gig number four was the first time I proper bombed, and that really that was a hard one to kind of to get back on. After that, that feeling was like humiliating.
Yeah,
and I just thought, that's me done. Three out of four ain't bad, man. Leave it there. So I've been a comedian since I've been 17, 21 years in stand up.
Wow. when you did have that bomb, what got you back on the horse, as they say?
So gig one, two and three were good. And then number four, it was in this pub on a Monday night, and there was only maybe 10 people invested in the show. So they used to have these comedy nights in pubs, but some people were just in the pub for a drink, and they did not, like, you know what I mean? There's a guy suddenly standing up and telling jokes. So when you start breaking it down and be rational about it, I was like, this was set up to fail anyway. But it was just that feeling of, like, being on the stage, your mouth starts going dry. You feel that hot, no, that it's a different type of sweat that the human body, like, distills when you're really messing up.
Yeah.
So it's not like a satisfying gym sweat or a, it's a different liquid that leaves your body. So I had that kind of feeling, and I just felt disgusting. But my brother had drove me to that one, and he was like, nah, you're being too harsh on yourself. There was only 10 people there. And I was like, I know, man, but you didn't experience what I experienced. I was going through that. You weren't even there, man. And the other comics had basically explained, like, that was just a tough night. Don't beat yourself up. And I was like, nah, I never want to experience that ever again.
Yeah.
I went to cancel the show the next week. The club that I had done the three good gigs in had still had me booked in. And I was going to phone and cancel it and just say, look, I'm done. The comedy days are over. And my dad said, nah, don't be stupid. Give it one more go. And we went back, and that one went well. And then I realised how much I had gained. Like, once you've had a fear, once you've failed like that, like proper bombed for the first time, the next gig, when as soon as you get the laugh, it feels like, oh, you've done the cold plunge and now you're in the hot tub. And then you start becoming a bit more fearless. Now, once the more horrors you experience.
Yeah.
It sounds like a cliche, but it's a cliche because it's true. It toughens you up. So I went on to bomb so many times thereafter, and it's still horrendous, the feeling, but you know you're going to bounce back.
So then I ask Kevin the question that I ask everyone on this show. How do you personally define success?
I mean, that's the kind of torturous thing, that you constantly raise your own bar. Trying stand-up for the first time and it going well was success. And then when somebody starts paying you money to perform stand-up comedy, I remember, I think I get like £15, but I still remember even looking at the 10 and the 5, just going like, jokes have paid for this. And then when it becomes your job, like when I got to say, like, I'm a professional comedian, but then you get success and then people start coming to the shows, you become kind of, you start becoming well known, and then it's like you realise that's the success is, unless you define what you want from this, then it's infinite, and it could lead to you start to mentally torture yourself chasing the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. So obviously material-wise, monetary-wise, being able to buy a house and all that stuff, look after my family, that was it. And then I genuinely enjoy it, like stand-up. So to remove material stuff or money stuff, success is like constantly turning over new material. Like that sort of thing, like that's the idea, right? Like you can just scribble something on a notepad and take it on a stage that night and then watch the audience connect with the idea and that validation that, oh, I'm on, I found something here. And then you come off the stage buzzing and then you scribble something else and then go back on the next night and suddenly this idea becomes a big comedy routine. To do that time and time again, that's the success from a purist point of view, like artistic success, I would say that is to, like, that's the bit that I enjoy, that's where I get the buzz. And for that reason alone, and obviously getting to travel the world and like walking on stage last week in New York City, like there's 2,000 people there. And you're like, wow, that is, to think that my dad drove me up to the first gig in like a Peugeot 106 and then we went for a McDonald's after it at 17 to suddenly walk on stage in New York. I'm not like a pinch me moment kind of guy, but that is, if you don't, is it Ferris Bueller? Ferris Bueller's, if you don't, life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it. So I had one of the moments last week.
So comedians do something that a lot of entrepreneurs have to do, which is walk into a room, give their presentation, and hope it kills. So I asked Kevin if he could walk us through his pre-show ritual. Does he do anything to either maybe quiet his mind or maybe amp his mind up to get ready to go. So here's how he prepares for those big moments when he's right about to walk out on stage.
That's it. Like, people say, do you get nervous? And I get really, really nervous, like, probably worse than ever, because the stakes are higher. Now, when there's thousands of people coming and they've seen all your previous stuff, then you're being compared to yourself as well. So I think people that try and lose the nerves, it's a futile task. You should be nervous. Like, if you're standing up to talk to a room full of people, unless you're a psychopath, then that is, to most people, that's quite daunting. So it's trying to find the good nerves. It's trying to be selective. And what kind of nerves? Is this irrational nerves? Am I nervous about the things that I cannot control? Before the show, like, my stomach will be going, and so I need to know what my opening line's going to be. I know the first few routines in the rough kind of order. I know they're funny, because every other night they've got laughs, so why would tonight be any different? Just try and calm myself, but then, so the nerves can then turn to, like, excitement. So if you just go, I know why I'm here, I know what the objective is, I've removed the stuff. If somebody's going to stand up during the show and start shouting abuse at me, or, I mean, that's happened, because I've done it for 21 years, but why would you be worried about that? Because if that happens, you cannot control it. So just try and focus on why you're there and what you want to say, and don't waste the time and the energy with stuff that probably is not going to happen, when you could put that energy into, here's what's going to happen. And usually it kind of sticks to the similar plan.
So the man writes, obviously he writes stand-up, but he has written a novel and he's also written a memoir. So I asked him just about his writing process. We're all writers, whether we're creating a book, whether we're creating a deck, whether we're trying to tell a story on our website. So I asked him for his best advice for people who are out there trying to create something that connects, and what his kind of schedule is like. Does he set aside time to do it? Does he just wait for inspiration to hit? And like many of us, I would say he has the best intentions, and sometimes it doesn't quite work out the way you planned.
I try and spend like 2 hours, 2 or 3 hours every day, like trying to read and write ideas for stand-up. And I genuinely don't think that in those 2 or 3 hours during the day, I have ever wrote something that has made it to the stage. But I know, so it does seem like a waste of time, but I believe that the best stand-up, so ideas just arrive in my head at random times. And then would those ideas arrive at those random times if I never had my brain so trained from doing those 2 or 3 hours every day? You know what I mean? A few weeks ago, I was in the shower and I was trying to work on this idea, and I was like, nah, but I need to say this. And then an idea came to my head, and I'm in the shower, so obviously I never had a pen or a pencil. But then it's any creative person will tell you, it's a form of torture when you actually feel the idea. It's about to leave your head and you've not got, you need to document it somehow. And I just looked at the glass on the shower, was steamed up. So in the condensation, I just started writing the and it was something about, it was about Jesus, right? So I had to write like Jesus on the shower. And I had to get dried quickly and then go and get it on my actual notepad to like write and develop the idea. When you write something on glass, it still stays there for a few days. So my wife's, she's like, Kevin, why did you write Jesus on the shower? So there you go. But the opposite of that is I like to run sometimes, right? Like just a 5K. But I found I started getting loads of ideas when I was running. But again, I don't have anything to write them. So I went on Amazon and I bought myself like a journalist, you know, like the wee USB like voice record that's tiny. And I thought, right, that's me good to go. And I put it in my running shorts. And then when I go for a run, and I have never had a single idea. When the brain's aware that you're trying, that you're fishing, it just kind of, nah, I'll wait till he's in the shower. I think if you start relying on, oh, I'm one of these guys that the ideas just come, I don't think that's going to happen. I think you're doing yourself a disservice. I think the ideas just come if you are putting in the work. And even if they maybe don't come at the designated time, like 9 till 1 every day, I'm going to be writing stand-up. I don't think you're going to write much stand-up 9 till 1, but it's a good discipline because you'll get yourself primed.
And then finally, I just asked him for his advice, his best advice for anyone who is trying to do anything. And here's what he had to say, which may make you turn this podcast off immediately when he's done saying it. And I hope it does.
I think the best advice before, so for somebody who's never tried stand-up or whatever creative endeavor they wish to pursue, I would say don't paralyze yourself with advice. Like some people, they overload themselves by like, so by the time they arrive at, for example, stand-up, they're so like, oh, remember, but don't do this, remember this, but remember. Whereas that will come. Like, if you're quite a funny person, then to me, when I watch open mic comics and you see the person that's way too polished, way too slick, and you're like, this person's done a course, this person's really read the manual, read the instructions, and then you see somebody that's just raw and funny, and you're like, right, that's natural, that's like, and the slickness and the polish will come to that person through just gigging and repeating and getting up and doing loads of spots. So I would say just like go with the whatever is burning in there that makes you want to have a creative pursuit in your life, just follow that, get up and get started, and then by all means take advice, but at least have a starting point. Otherwise you'll just make it a lot more daunting and you'll procrastinate a lot more. And like, just because you're reading 100 books about being a writer, it does not make you a writer. But if you just start writing, then bang, you're a writer, and then you can start reading the books from the vantage point of being.
Okay, well, that is it for my chat with the very funny Kevin Bridges. If you are intrigued, by the time you're listening to this, there are still some North American tour dates for you to check out. So go to his site, kevinbridges.co.uk. All right, that is it for the snack. Time to get out there and do the thing that you're hoping to get inspired to do. As Kevin said, the best way to become a writer is to write. Or the best way to become a fit person is to go exercise, which is what I'm going to do. But first, I got to get the right sneakers and I got to buy the right shorts. And then I got to listen to 8 books about proper jogging technique. And then I will get on my fitness journey. All right, well, please like, subscribe, and all the other things that every other podcast person asks you to do, but I really want you to do it. Throw us a star rating, subscribe, and send me your thoughts at howsuccesshappens@entrepreneur.com. You write me a good note, I'll read you a good reading of that note. All right, see you next time.